Good morning and welcome to worship on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Today, pay close attention to the first reading and the gospel and see those connections between the two about forgiveness and how the church is called into that relationship of reconciliation and forgiveness and offering abundant mercy to repentant sinners. As we prepare our hearts for worship this morning with the brief order of confession and forgiveness, I invite all who are able to stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn in again to life in you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who are in need. And through Christ's death and resurrection, Christ has made us a new creation and his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims to you this day. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom then and newness of life to do God's will in the world. Amen. The grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 50. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave us this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong that they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to him, the word of life.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Romans 14. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on the servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the entire debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, have mercy. Mercy on us all. I have to tell you, my heart is heavy today. And I'm sure that's true for many of you as well. As if a global pandemic, coupled with economic woes, unemployment, racial injustice protests, and a contentious election ahead of us, as if that were not enough, now we have devastating fires wreaking havoc all around us and up and down the West Coast and in our own backyard. Any one of those things would be more than enough for us to cry out, "Lord, have mercy." But combined? Well, let me put it this way. It would be an understatement for me to say, this is just a bit too much. Lord, have mercy. Mercy on us all. I worry that for some, especially those of the faith community, for some of us, this may be a crisis of faith. And I don't mean to the kind of doubt and questions that I believe are a healthy part of faith, inquiring minds that we have, but I worry that there are signs around us of despair. People of faith losing heart, despairing the circumstances we find ourselves in. Even though most faithful among us may be wondering, where is God in all of this? It's a fair question, I think. I suppose I was even maybe wondering a bit myself about that this week. And I was reminded by the Spirit's nudging of the psalmist's words. The words that say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. That was the psalm that inspired Martin Luther to pen the great hymn of the faith, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I want to read for you the words from the final two verses of that hymn. The English translation that says, "Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand, they cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle we'll engage, his might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him." That is the devil. Or the devils and the hordes of devils around us that fill this land. And then Luther's final verse of that great hymn, "God's word," capital W, Jesus Christ, "God's word forever shall abide. no thanks to foes who fear it. God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. Powerful words. Even now, as the fires rage around us and smoke fills the air, even in this room, just through the crack in the front doors to the narthex, as these fires rage around us and the smoke fills the air, another psalmist's words come to mind. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. It's a promise, and it is true. Our God has not abandoned us. Our God is with us and for us, just as he has always been with us, and just as he will always be with us. And so there is a reason to hope. There's always reason to hope. Just as there is always reason to give thanks to God in all circumstances, no matter what. Because the truth is, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And God is all around us. God surrounds us, just as God surrounds the mountains in Jerusalem, and just as the fires rage all around us, God is with us. In fact, often it is in times of adversity when we can see God at work most clearly. An email request came out on Thursday asking clergy to offer a ministry of presence, my words for it, down at Silky Field. And so I signed up for a shift on Friday. And this is what I observed. Not only was God present, but humanity at its best, through an outpouring of generosity, was reflecting God's grace and mercy and love. I found myself listening to amazing stories from displaced families and volunteers alike. I witnessed the incredible outpouring of donations from members of the community, so much so that before the end of the day, they were loading up U-Haul trucks to take it to other locations, because they had been overwhelmed by the donations. Cars and trucks were loaded with everything from food and water to diapers and toiletries and clothing of all sizes. Restaurant owners set up food trucks and prepared hot meals and handed them out to anyone and everyone, no questions asked. No one was looking for ID. No one was looking to discern who had the greatest need. No questions were being asked. Veterinarians and animal rescue workers were tending to the needs of beloved pets and making arrangements for livestock to be cared for. People were sorting clothing and volunteers were unloading cars while others were directing traffic that had backed up quite a way. No signs of impatience or rudeness or judgment. Only hearts full of compassion and gratitude. Ordinary people helping one another. One young mother entrusted me with her 8-month-old as a joy to play peekaboo with a little one. And the whole time she was gone picking up her supplies and had left me with her child, the child was beaming. No signs of distress, on that little one's face. Another couple shared a story of getting a knock on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning, telling them, go, you have to go now. The sheer terror they experienced as they made their way to safety, not knowing when they'd be able to return or when, if they did, whether their house would be still standing. I also know some of our own church members have been displaced, maybe wondering whether their home will still be standing. Some have had a level one alert this past week. And I'm sure that every one of us knows someone who's been impacted. Personally, I cannot imagine the anxiety and stress of not knowing if or when you might have to leave your home and flee for safety. Yet I do know this. Through adversity, we can cling to the promise that God is with us and that God is for us, that our God will never abandon us nor forsake us, that the arms of our God are forever surrounding us, embracing and enfolding us into the flock, especially in times of our greatest need. Finally, in spite of everything that seems so wrong in our world today, I want to remind you once again that our God went to great lengths to redeem and reconcile this world God so loves. Went all the way to the cross. Our God is a God who resurrects new life from ashes. Our God is the God who not only raises new life from the ashes, but promises an abundant and everlasting life. A life that has already begun and will continue on forever. Perhaps the Apostle Paul summed it up best when he wrote his letter to the Romans. And he said what Mary Ellen read for us earlier, we do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen.
With the whole church, let us profess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Drawn together in the compassion of God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Uphold your church throughout the world. Make our lights shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify your holy name. And following in the footsteps of Jesus, empower us to love and serve our neighbors in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The heights of the heavens show us the vastness of your steadfast love. Have compassion on your creation, where human selfishness has brought ruin and destruction. We look to you to heal, renew, and redeem your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Make your ways known to the nations. Speak kindness to our bitter grudges. Settle our hearts when we're prone to settle accounts with violence. Give courage to all world leaders and fill them with the desire and will to strive for peace and justice in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your creation is being ravaged by fires, be with all who are battling the blazes, those who are helping with search and rescue operations, and all who are impacted by the destruction and devastation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring healing and comfort to all in need. Today we remember before you our brothers and sisters in Christ, Nicole Christie, Richard Cook, Greg Foote, Mike Kennedy, Marie Miller, and Marta Sanders, as well as all those who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the saints who have gone before us and who now are at rest in your eternal care. Especially this day, we remember your servant, Joel Brower. Pour out your strength on all who mourn, and be with those for whom death draws near. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. As we prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion, we continue our worship now with the anthem. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of all the suffering world. Through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death and resurrection, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ our Lord. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, and to your beloved vineyard, to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ, and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.